Come on to the rail. We're going to stay right here beside you.
Turn your head around.
Yeah, we'll get it over.
In case it blows off.
It's okay. That's just the boat saying it's time to go. Well, listen. There's one sound memory that stands out for me the most clearly from growing up on the island, which is the sound of the wind and the poplar trees at night when
like
I was going to sleep.
Of the wind
and just listening to that
trees.
Outside my window.
We have these
and
wonderful
lots
poplar
of other sounds,
trees
sounds
that,
of boats.
Tremble
and,
in the breeze.
The sound of the...
And whenever there's a wind,
the kind of ching 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 of all the rigging hitting the masts of the sailboats. I totally love that. That's a really fun sound memory for me.
Mm-hmm. It's a very soothing sound.
Birds and the voices of my grandparents.
Those would be my favorites. You can always hear the wind.
The fireplace and the creaky doors.
Oh, and the light switch to go into the bathroom. There would be like kind of a creaky step that you would step on as you were reaching up above your head to like flick the light switch, and it made this like really loud crack.
Click.
Now you've got down along the street here, we've got some fir trees and spruce trees during the winter time.
The
wind kind of howls
whenever
and
we come up this
through
come
these
up the
trees,
rock.
So that can be quite pleasurable as well.
You could see it, you know.
There's a
grove
of
waves crashing.
Pine trees on Snake
Island.
Over the boardwalk.
Especially kind of in the fall more and when they're
a lot of people,
in the evening,
including
used to
myself,
love to walk there. And, like, and even in the winter, too, and the waves crash right over the boardwalk.
In the wintertime.
And kind of get splashed. Or go with a big umbrella, and then you can kind
of
just lean the umbrella towards the splashes and walk the dog.
And I remember also sort of quieter ice
and the winds over at Snake Island sighing through these pine trees. Very, very pleasing.
Sounds like skates going across.
Much more so in
the city. Remember that one time? Crossing over the bridge, I think this was like during a spring melt, and there was the tiny thinnest layer of ice on top, and the water just moving really quietly and like this tinkle, 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 tinkle.
It was like crystals, it was like crystalline sounds. That was amazing, actually.
That was really beautiful.
And I remember also just like walking on the ice and hearing the big, you know.
Oh, as the ice expands, the big cracks, and you think that you're going to fall through the ice.
Yeah, definitely gave me
I enjoy walking on the beach. They're different depending
and even
where the wind is coming
from. Even in the bay, too.
If it's from the west, then there'll be a fair surf in a Morgues Island. But there's a much bigger surf over
out in the middle of it.
Over
literally
Hamlet's Point,
you
see, along the Hamlet's Beach. If it's from the east,
feeling so isolated,
you don't get anything at all much in around the Morgues. But you've got a fair surf coming in over.
And there's this great sound that the foxes make that I won't try to recreate, where I guess they came over one winter on the ice because there never had been foxes on the island as far as I knew, but they were there one year. When we would walk my dog sometimes late at night, which was great to do late at night because nobody would be there and we could just ride bikes and the dog totally run off leash and we'd ride from one end to the island and back. And the and he's a little bit half wild. And the foxes would call out to him. I guess after a while, they bumped into each other once and played together. And then when we would go running with him, you'd hear the fox call out to Pippin, and Pippin would take off, and they'd go run around together, and then he'd come back eventually.
It was like a weird sort of between a bark and a yelp,
and
or like a turkey, or like a scream.
It's kind of scared us at first.
At first you didn't know what it was. New birds coming to the island, and when I sit at my desk, I can usually hear the sparrows chittering. They're kind of pretty plebeian kinds of birds. You know, they're your basic bird. But then a house finch just arrived, and I could hear the new sound when it came. Yesterday I heard a flicker. Didn't see it, but I heard it. So I like the soundscape of the birds.
There's a tremendous
red wings.
Noise.
First sound of spring is a
brrrr. It's the nesting
red
birds over there, and
the
birds nest at different times in the spring. And
I guess
it's the gulls probably that are the noisiest.
I don't know if we get
more
birds
terns,
than other places,
and they've got a couple of different species of gulls. And these birds are, and there's many thousands of them. You see, all chirping at once. They are extremely noisy.
In the evening, when you're on the north side of the island, facing
the
city,
birds down
you
the
can
harbor,
totally hear
night,
the gardener
gulls,
traffic
probably,
and the kind of the hum. Because it's so
they
quiet,
really
and the gardener's right on
there's
the waterfront, and maybe it's partly lakeshore too, right?
There's very little
just
wind.
The hum of the city.
Yeah.
And then you've
because
got a constant sort of background
city,
noise. You've got the gardener
totally
expressway.
In it, whereas in the island, there's still a hum there, but you're a little bit away from it, so you can hear that coming from the city.
I think that in the city, it just gets drowned out by the localized sounds of cars
you don't
going
hear that
by
noise.
Right in front of you.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Some
you
of
know,
those birds
sort of
squawking
sounds.
In the
whereas
harbor
there, like you say,
on certain nights when there's
far
not very much wind are extremely noisy.
I always prefer the south side of the island because of that. And even that famous vista of Toronto with all the lights that everyone thinks is so beautiful, I never enjoyed that. My favorite times on the island were when it was totally foggy and you couldn't see the city at all.
At the end of the gap here, they used to have a lighthouse and they had a horn. Foghorn, and they moved the whole lighthouse to the city side, and of course the horn isn't used anymore
for
shipping.
So the foghorn I was
but it
with,
was wonderful. It just was. It would go
in
a heavy fog. It would go.
Boats coming in the fog, so they wouldn't run into the end of the spit. You see, and there wasn't a foghorn.
And you'd maybe hear it all night, but it didn't bother you.
By the Eastern Gap.
It was just something that was natural, and you accepted it. It wasn't a bothersome noise at all.
But I would get used to it. So we don't have the foghorns anymore.
It meant so much. I mean, first of all, it was absolutely beautiful sound. It was mournful and full of chords and tones and longing and loss. You know, wonderful, wonderful sound like a train whistle. You know, it very evocative. But it also told you about the weather. It said something's happening. We have a fog. In fact, we are cut off from everyone else right now. And there's magic outside, and if you go outside, you won't be able to see, and you'll be lost in another reality. And it was very, very wonderful sound.
Fog when I'm sure that my compass is off. It's quite spooky. And the sounds in the harbor in a pea soup fog are really, really scary because the sound travels better. And you can hear a ferry. You can't see it, but you can hear one of the ferries. And you just hope they can see you all right on their radar. They should, you know, these large boats. So the ferries should be watching very little blip on their radar. But all of a sudden, out of the fog, it might be only 20 feet away from you. You see, you can see one of these boats go by. And that is really scary when you're out there and you hear these boats much more loudly.
Yeah,
than
the bellboys
are
anyway.
Ding dong, ding dong,
last,
ding dong. The waves.
So
it was right in the middle of the harbor.
I don't
bell
think
boy.
I was in one
and that
summer.
Isn't there anymore. There are lights and boys with lights on them now.
Now I think about the island as a quiet place. Whereas if I was living there, you would think about all the sounds you were hearing. Like I remember once hearing an owl, which was really special to hear an owl over there. Or walking home late at night from a friend's house and hearing the beaver tail smack the water scared the bejesus out of me because it was pretty quiet, I guess, then. And like So there's really so many sounds, and it's so rich. But now that I live here, and I hear the sounds of cars and neighbors playing loud music.
Car alarms.
Really. Now I think about the island as being quiet.
Well, listen. You know, that's it. And when the bass starts, you know, it's just that obvious. It was happening last night, you know, and it's just that obvious. And sometimes it can just be.
I never heard the Doc's nightclub.
At 3 in the morning?
Oh, I couldn't
whatever.
Hear it.
I totally heard it.
And you've heard that.
You heard it too.
And you heard it like
I just forgot.
The windows
a party
come out,
boat?
The floor
yeah, you probably
will
thought
rattle.
It was a party boat, but
when you
I remember
have
distinctly
it,
there was like a really
just
bad
so,
Euro
intrusive.
Concert
I can
there
be
day.
Sitting on the
there's
couch
so
there, lying in bed, and you can feel
so
the vibration.
Like, oh,
and I think they have tried, and they may be
like,
succeeding
I don't know,
a bit because I haven't heard it this winter the
you
way
know,
I
like,
normally
oh,
do.
Other
you
know,
year you'd be lying in bed wondering.
Being bullied all the time.
You could just get a cannon and put it on our lawn, and every time they start, we'll start lobbing cannonballs at me or something.
You develop
that's
a kind of learned helplessness.
Angry.
I mean, there's all the things they talk about in experiments where they put animals in cages and shock them and don't give them any way of stopping the shock, and it makes the animal sick, you know.
Headaches,
and they develop psychological problems and probably physical problems.
I mean, we've just
and
gone through a hearing and we had witnesses in. Some wouldn't be able to
assaulted
stay upstairs, they'd have to move downstairs, so they would
for
have
a long
to move
time
out of their bed.
Without any way of stopping
sleep
it or
deprivation
any way
is huge. One woman actually
really
tried to sleep in a cupboard.
Asleep.
She couldn't get away from it.
Boom, boom,
you know, and so
boom.
Sleeping pills are a big part of it. Some heart medication,
it
just
it
stresses them
like
out so much.
I was an alien party,
you know,
actually.
Unwanted
so there was an alien party there, probably like
of noise over and over and over again.
Maybe
98. Boom,
and the space,
boom.
No one had ever been
I think
in the space before for a party, so that was kind of exciting too. And it was really big. There was a big patio right on the water, which was a really great, beautiful spot to be able to be listening to this music.
Yeah,
back
I
when
that,
I appreciated
that
more, I guess. And
I
think there was a separate sound system out there. And I just remember after being there all night and having a great time with my friends
and
it being really foggy,
right
foggy in the morning.
Sure that when,
and a huge ship coming through
the
eastern gap and blowing its fog horn while we were all out there.
I think
we thought that was pretty exciting or whatever. Kind of
probably smaller big speakers. Whereas now when it's a concert venue, it's like, okay, this is the venue, here's the stage points that way, right out to the water, and there's a literally a wall of speakers, right? And then inside there's, you know, another
and I think the owner actually at the time had approached the guys who organized the rave and said,
that's a big
hey, I want to turn this into a nightclub. Do you guys want to do it? And I remember them talking, like, run it. I remember them talking about it and just, you know, seriously considering it, but thinking that they probably weren't interested in doing something and they were more interested in the crowd or the appeal that there would be to a one-off event and how different it would be from having a regular.
Yeah, I think that the people that we associate with in with respect to party promoters are more interested in creating very unique one-off experiences, or, like, you know, using spaces a few times to their maximum potential rather than being club managers.
Yeah.
I don't think that they want to, like, I think that there's a fundamental difference that they're not like, okay, how can we just cash in?
Now we get tour boats, and they live it up. You might like the music, you might not. It might be reggae or something like that that I would like. But sometimes they're pretty noisy,
and they do try to control it. In the beginning, it wasn't as bad as it is now because technology has advanced so much. So almost we wish for that level of those days, but even at that time, that was too much. So their volume included the bass, and that went up. From just your simple New York, New York, you know, or YMCA. Like I say, to go back to those days would almost be a relief.
I had a love-hate relationship with that because sometimes it's like you hear cool Caribbean stuff, for instance, right?
Lots of Calypso, yeah.
Yeah, like Calypso and reggae and stuff, and you hear every style of music imaginable.
I remember walking along the boardwalk once late at night and, like, hearing Billie Jean and kind of being, like, you know, dancing a little bit on the boardwalk for a couple minutes or whatever.
I like a lot of sound.
Occasionally you hear something.
Just temporarily.
Like,
I've been on many seniors' trips.
In
Hawaii, we went on, was supposed to be a boat cruise. It looked like a huge barge to me. But we just went out into what I would call the bay like this. And the racket we made. The music was so loud, but everybody just, these are seniors, just going nuts. They had a wonderful time. And I thought, oh, what are we blaming young people for? We're making more racket out here than they did. But everybody just let loose and they had a wonderful time. But that was enough, one night of it. It was loud. But it just relaxes people.
And it's amazing how many people on the island don't hear it consciously or are as sensitive. So there's many different levels. When the windows rattle and the floors rattle, then everybody tends to rattle. And it's very obvious. And we'll get a lot of activity at that time. What do I do? you know, how do we stop this, you know,
there are certain
and such, but when it's just your normal annoying pounding, many people can somehow cope through it better. And then there's some who can't.
For example, my wife was on medication.
Who have to leave
was
the down, island.
I think it was in the last few weeks, was talking to a person who lives on Seneca, so, and do you hear that sound? It's the Gardiner Expressway. No, there's another sound there. Listen, listen carefully. So if she knew this other sound that was coming from the sugar plant, from the Red Path sugar plant over there, my wife, I had not noticed that sound. My wife had not noticed the sound at all until she had it pointed out to her, you see. So there are certain people who listen for sounds, and other people will go to bed at night and they'll go to sleep and they're not disturbed.
If they can't hear the noise and they're not bothered.
I probably spend a lot of time filtering.
They're not even interested. But there's people over here.
Not just the bass, the boom boom, which I have to block any way I can, but the sound of traffic.
Just over here, the noise just comes right over.
Just the general background hum of urban noise. I probably really only start listening when I'm out in the country or on a peaceful day like this when the background noise is low and I don't have to filter. And then I can, you just hear that woodpecker back there? Yeah, then I can afford to listen. I suspect I filter more than I listen. We're in a very noisy city. There's an element of addiction to the to loud noise now that it fulfills some kind of need for people. That's my suspicion,
certain
that these loud noises
sort of
are not
ideas that these certain sounds are acceptable okay because
they do,
you know,
something for people.
Certain
that
activities
might not
that are toxic and lethal are acceptable.
Yeah.
Because it, yeah, I don't know.
Because it fits in with their idea of how life should be or something.
And
like that.
I guess which I think too about class kind of and like if in the way you know who can afford to have a quiet space and like to live in a quiet town or live not in a town but still be able to you know get to work or whatever or have
a need a
very large soundproof car,
confused and chaotic world. What you figure you've got is your own space
and kind of hear everything more intensely and like.
And then
the
you lose control
you have,
of it.
The more or quiet the, you can afford, yeah. You can kind of imagine that you have private space, or
whether
you
define
have,
that as property
you know, kind of
or not. I kind of think
like
people do need to control at
there,
least that
or,
bit of the world.
You know, that, like,
and then the sound coming in, it just blows
own,
it.
And that's their space that they own, but the actions of everybody else is gonna are gonna affect you so much, and your actions affect
I have
everybody
felt,
else.
And
so
it's
much.
Taken me a long time to realize it is an environmental
they think
issue.
We're crazy that we're spoiled.
And it's a very recent one.
That
I
we
think
should
it's
be able to tolerate
years
a little
that
noise.
The onslaught has hit us, and we've been slow to react, and something has to be done.
They don't have any sympathy for us.
It's too stressful for people.
So, but they say they are trying to adjust their equipment. I said, you know, I lie in bed when I was testing, and I try to think of a solution. Build a big wall. Build a sound barrier, you know, that reflects sound right back to them. There's so many new modern techniques that surely they can find something that they can make all the noise they want over there, and we don't have to be affected.
But all these little personal technologies... Are the band-aid solution to there being so much noise pollution? Why is there so much noise pollution? Why do people need car alarms? Why is the construction such that the roads have to be rebuilt every couple of years? Mm-hmm. Why, you know, and that you need to kind of ask those fundamental questions rather than like, have some technology that who knows what long-term effects it's going to have on your health, or who knows what long-term effects it has on social relations. But if you just have those devices that enable you to live a quiet life in a noisy place, you're never going to ask those questions of why certain people get to make more noise, or why certain noises get made, or why we think certain noises are acceptable or not. But that's kind of the case with so many issues, that the deeper causal issues don't get addressed, and there's just
we're not living in the present somehow. We don't know how to. And I say that about myself as well. If we were really living in the present, we would hear all the noises. And we would be slow. And we would make more things. And we don't, and we can't, because our culture's too chaotic and too crazy and too fast and too full and too stressful. And so we do things to cope with it. And one of the things we seem to be doing is making too much noise. I don't know how you stop people from doing that. I don't have the slightest idea.